God bless you. Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? Merry Christmas. You excited about Christmas? I love Christmas. It's my favorite event and time of the year, the whole time building up to it. I love this year, man. They had Christmas decorations in the store October 1st. Did you notice that? I actually bought some eggnog October 1st. Somebody had some eggnog. You don't like eggnog? That's good stuff, man. That's Christmas stuff. Well, before we get into our message, I wanted to give you an update on Heart for the House. About 6 weeks ago, we started talking about this. Some of our departments, mainly our children's ministry, needed some equipment, some curriculum, and we put together a package, three tiers, that we asked everybody to pray about making a sacrificial gift before the end of the year. And we asked, you know, we said, let's shoot for December 6th so we can start ordering some of this. And we had some more come in last week, so the total right now that has come in is $564. So God bless you. You guys are awesome. We've already ordered some curriculum and looking into some equipment, so thank you so much. Y'all are blessing. You're leaving a legacy. You're making an investment in winning souls, making disciples. And I think children's ministry is one of the best places anybody ever can invest in ministry, because it leaves a long legacy behind. So thank you. And you can still give to Heart for the House till the end of the year. Just be sure you identify Heart for the House. Maybe we can reach that third tier before the end of the year. Silent Night, part three. It's a three-part series. If you need notes, raise your hand. The ushers will give you some notes. And what a great time of year to show kindness to people. Amen. And link it to the Savior. I mean, it's great to show kindness, but and that's good, but always let it point to Jesus. That men may see your, Jesus said, men may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Not glorify us. Not, yeah, I'm this great person, I'm so kind. No, what does that do for them? But glorify God. You know, God changed my life, that's why I'm doing this. We have the Acts of Kindness cards. It's a great time of year to be using that. You leave a special gift to somebody or pay it forward, you know, pay for the guy behind you in line and say, give him this card, something extra to show that God loves you. It can change people's lives. And really, don't underestimate the Christmas Eve service. We have invitation cards. You know, there's probably people around you that are kind of thinking about, how can I kind of bring God into my Christmas? And just an invitation to Christmas Eve service, it's going to be great. It's candlelight, communion, great worship, short message. It's great for somebody that you know to come, and great for all of us. Just kind of set the tone for our Christmas. So it's that time of year, but we've been talking about what Christmas means and this subject of peace. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, my daughter Rachel graduated from UF yesterday. Isn't that... Man, thank God she didn't go to FSU. Man, she went to UF, and she graduated. I'm just going to brag a little bit, okay, because I got the microphone. So, you know, summa cum laude. So that's the highest honors. You know, she's kind of like me. I graduated with something like that, too. It was called Lordy Come Quickly. It was similar, you know, or... Oh, Lordy, Lordy, I got those honors too. And obviously she got her brains from her mother, because I still have mine. And okay, I'll hear about that at lunch. But before we get back into peace, there was this guy driving from Texas coming to UF. He wanted to come to the University of Florida in Gainesville, and he stopped in Tallahassee, of all places. And he happened to run into an FSU student, and he said, could you tell me the quickest way to Gainesville? And the guy said, well, are you driving or are you walking? And the guy said, I'm driving. He said, that's the quickest way. You know. Silent night. Peace on earth. So few people ever actually experience what we say Christmas is all about. Joy to the world, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, happiness, peace on earth. How many people, if you ask them, you know, just be honest with me, if you ask them, how's life? They would go, peace, man, I'm just so full of peace, peace on earth. There used to be a saying when I was a kid, peace man. Does anybody remember that? The symbol, peace symbol. We even had that little thing. I had an Afro pick that had the peace symbol in the middle of it. Jesus, yeah, I got to show you that picture. It put some of you guys to shame. I mean, it was Jesus, but Jesus said peace is a commodity that every believer can possess. Look at this in Luke chapter 2, 13 and 14, the Christmas story. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." They knew where the praise went. In our lives, that should be the theme of our life. Glory to God. I'm nothing. I've made lots of mistakes. But by the grace of God, I'm even here today. By the grace of God, I can accomplish anything. Anything good that comes out of my life came from God. If it's bad, that's still me leaking out. But thank God, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. And look at this. On earth, peace to men. He didn't say peace on earth. That was week one. We looked at, he didn't say peace on earth, because you don't see peace on earth. 14,581 wars since he said that. There is not peace on earth. He didn't come to bring peace on earth. We looked at that scripture. He said, "You think I came to bring peace on earth?" He said, "No, I came to bring division. But on earth, peace to men." See, men, you can have peace in the midst of a world that does not have peace. So sometimes we go like, where's the peace? Well, that's what Christ is saying. Where's the peace? It should be in us. See, if you have peace because there's no conflict, is that real? Really? And what Christ is saying, here's the anomaly. Here's the powerful factor of this. Even though everything's as bad as it ever was, maybe even getting worse, in the midst of it, you could have peace. In the midst, that's a real testimony when there's no peace in your life or around you, in your family, in your work, the situations, and then, but you still have peace. And that's what we looked at. We looked at first in week one, where Jesus said, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give you isn't fragile like the peace the world gives, so don't be troubled or afraid." Then we looked at week two, how to get this peace that I'm talking about right here. Not world peace, but peace in the world. And week two, we talked about you're not going to find peace. You're going to make peace. So we looked at the difference between a lot of us, we're trying to find peace. No, you make it. That's good news because you can make it. And so we looked at this verse of scripture, Matthew chapter 5. Blessed, Jesus talking, blessed are the what? Peacemakers. So we know it's not going to be world peace, but not he's not talking about peacemakers that make peace on the inside of you. And we talked about the fact that how that's done is through this word reconciliation, which means to zero out everybody's balance. Reconcile, because God already reconciled us to himself before we took any move, even before you were born. He made it a zero balance, and that's what you got to do. That's how you make peace. Zero balance everybody that's ever wronged you. Not because they're right, but because you want peace. So that was week two. Now we're week three. Prince of Peace. We're going to talk about the Prince of Peace today. Did you know there's over just an interesting side note, over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament going back 4,000 years before his birth, giving details about the Messiah, where he would be born, where he would minister, where he would live, where he would die, how many friends he'd have, how many enemies he'd have, that he'd be sold for 30 pieces of silver, how he would die. He'd have a crown of thorn on his head. He'd be pierced in his side. No bones would be broken. He'd hang on a cross. Over 300 different prophecies. And here's the amazing thing. He fulfilled every single one of them. A scientist calculated the odds of one person through Earth's history being able to fulfill all 300 of the prophecies, and he found that it was a chance of 1 in 10 to the 420th power. That's a 1 with 420 zeros. That's how many atoms there are in the known universe. That's the odds that a person could do that. Then Isaiah chapter 9 says this, "Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called," look at this, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And you say, well, you just told me he's not going to bring world peace. Yeah, but he's going to bring peace. He's the Prince of Peace. The word in the Hebrew where it says Prince of Peace, there's two words in the Hebrew. Sar Shalom. It's in your notes. It's written out for you. Sar Shalom. We'll break down those two words. The first word, Sar, means this literally. The one in charge. Lord, Chief, General. That's how you could, that's different words you can use to translate that. That's the word you've heard in some countries. They have a czar that is in charge of their country. That's where that word, czar, czar, Caesar, Caesar, it comes from that same root word, czar. And then let's look at the word shalom. Prince of Peace is czar shalom. One in charge, Lord. And then the word shalom, literally from the Hebrew dictionary, means rest, tranquility. But it's a bigger word than, it's bigger than just the absence of conflict. It also means wholeness. It's restoring something that has been broken or taken away. Wholeness, completeness, contentment. See, that's where that peace comes from when Christ does his work in our life. In fact, one Hebrew scholar said this, a working definition of the word shalom. Jews love the word shalom. That's their greeting. Shalom. They say that when they see each other. And what are they saying? Wholeness. Here's how a Hebrew scholar said you could translate that. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wouldn't that be nice in your life if there's nothing missing and nothing broken? Shalom. And that's what they say. Shalom Aleichem, peace unto you. And then the response is back, Aleichem Shalom, unto you be peace. That's the way Hebrews still greet each other, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. And that's who Jesus is introduced from the Old Testament, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, the Man of Peace, the Lord of Peace. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 14, verse 27. He said, peace, I leave you. Completeness, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. My peace I give to you, and I do not give it to you as the world gives. So remember we talked about the world has its formula for peace. It's usually in a pill or a bottle or some kind of activity that doesn't last very long, and it's very elusive. He says, I don't give it to you like the world gives. Do not let, so there's something on our part to do. Do not let your heart be troubled. How do you do that? You have to trust God. You have to trust, and you need to know what he said he's going to do for you. So that's why you read the words. So you see what he's promised. And you say, oh, I'm not going to let my heart get troubled because God's not a liar. That's the essence of faith. You know what? A good way to define faith, acting like God's not a liar. That's what faith is, trusting God, believing. So that means that you need to know what he said. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You hear it, you believe it. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Christmas, it's not, a gift is not going to bring peace to you. Everything, the food came out just right. That turkey was perfect. The brajol was excellent. The lasagna was great. Everything, that's not going to bring peace. See? Don't let your hearts be troubled. You can have all that working and trouble in your heart. It will take away all the peace, some anger. What we talked about last week. God is zero balance, everybody, even your relationship with God. Nothing between you. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. I like that word justified. A good way to think of it is just as if I'd never sinned. That's what justified. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important place to have peace, peace with God. Psalm 4:8 says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. Don't you like to do that? For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So peace comes from the Prince of Peace. It doesn't come from a pill, and it won't come from a peace treaty. Remember I told you last week, in the last 3,500 years of recorded history, there's been 8,000 peace treaties. Every single one of them has been broken. But Christ can come into your heart. Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Something to believe for, to shoot for this Christmas. Bring peace into your home, into your family, into your Christmas and Christmas dinner. Ephesians 2, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. Christ is peace. He doesn't have it. He is it. That's why we need him. We need the Prince of Peace. You know, it's great to celebrate Christmas because Christ is the hope of the world. Christ is the peace that everybody is looking for. Not world peace, but peace in the world. Most people define peace as the absence of conflict. All right, I want to shake that up for you today. I don't believe peace is the absence of something, it's the presence of someone. Peace is not, that's something that you, if you get it, nothing else, just take this with you till Christmas. If you think, peace is not the absence of something, it's the presence of someone. You know, maybe the people that you're going to have dinner with on Christmas Eve or Christmas, there's a long-standing battle, and you know, you could still have peace if you have Christ in your heart. Your attitude about them can completely change. You can have the right attitude. Maybe nothing about them has changed, but in you, something can change. The Prince of Peace, he is our peace. Even if conflict erupts, if you have him on the inside of you, you can still have peace. If you need peace, you need Sar Shalom, the person of peace. So, in other words, you don't really pursue peace, you pursue the Prince of Peace, the person of peace, you pursue Jesus. Christmas is awesome. Even the very words Christmas. Merry Christmas. Christmas is a transliteration of the Latin, Christes Maese. Maese is mass or celebration. Literally, it means celebration. Christo is the anointed one and his anointing. That's what it literally means. And then the Old Testament tells us the anointing breaks yokes, removes burdens. Merry means joy-filled. So when you say Merry Christmas, a joy-filled celebration of the anointed one and his anointed ability to remove burdens and destroy yokes. That's what you say every time you see Merry Christmas or you say Merry Christmas. It's a lot different than Happy Holidays, right? I always liked it in the stores. You know, they train them to say Happy Holidays, and I say Merry Christmas. And then usually they say Merry Christmas back. And what a great thing to be saying, a joy-filled celebration of the anointed one and his anointed ability to remove burdens and destroy yokes. Man, it's great. But here's a truth, that sometimes Jesus doesn't calm the storm. Remember, peace is not the absence of something, it's the presence of. Sometimes he doesn't calm the storm, he rides through it with you. Now, we would like him to calm the storm. That's usually our prayer. Sometimes he delights in letting the storm rage and taking you through it so that you can get to the other side and say, I made it through that thing. You could look back at the storm and say, you think you're so bad and your bad self, I went through you, man. How? Because of who was on the inside of you. That's a good thing to remember. You can pray against the storm. Sometimes he calms the storm, doesn't he? Thank God for when he does that. But what if he doesn't? Know that he's on the inside of you. He's going to get you through the storm. So I want to give you three keys to having peace in a world full of storms that oftentimes are beyond our control. Number one, get under the lordship of Jesus. These are very simple keys. Get under the lordship of Jesus. Lordship means he's Lord. Lord, ruler, controller, dictator, if you will, calling the shots, boss. Lord does not mean lucky rabbit's foot. How many of you had a lucky rabbit's foot when you grew up? Oh my goodness, y'all are missing out. What? Just only three or four of us had a lucky rabbit's foot? One day I started getting a little older and I thought, you know, it wasn't that lucky for the rabbit. You know, but I remember when I was a little kid, I got a lucky rabbit's foot at the Publix. They probably don't sell them anymore. It's just not politically correct to have it. They used to have them in Publix on the corner in Miami on Coral Way and 87th. Carl, you know where that is, Westchester. I remember buying the little white rabbit's foot, and it had a little keychain on the end. I was only about 5 or 6. I didn't have any keys, but I had my lucky rabbit's foot. I remember taking it to school with me in my pocket. It was my lucky rabbit's foot. And then after I, you know, started going to church, and I was raised Catholic, and we used to have things that, you know, I had a thing that I wore around my neck. I had a thing when I started driving. And, you know, Jesus was kind of like the lucky rabbit's foot to me. He wasn't Lord. He was the lucky rabbit's foot. I remember when I started University of Florida in 1972, someone on campus gave me a little Gideon's Bible, a green Gideon's Bible. Anybody ever seen one of those? I didn't read it. I didn't know you're supposed to read it. What did I do with it? Here's the way I put it in the glove box of my car, thinking that's going to keep me from getting in an accident. Everything, like, that's the way Christ was to me, was like a lucky rabbit's foot. But that's not what lordship means. And lordship is not even just calling him Lord. It's doing it. Because Jesus said, a lot of people are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, we called you. And he said, I didn't know you. It literally means being under covering. Lordship is, it's a covering. It's kind of like, I got this horse about 10, 12 years ago named Sugar. And I used to keep her in the yard. And when Rebecca got upset because I didn't have a stall or a barn or anything. She would get upset when it rained. Sugar would just be out in the rain. And, you know, sugar melts, you know. So she was worried about Sugar being out in the rain. She said, you need to build. So I built a shed for Sugar. I took a picture of it. It's still there today. It's a good shed. I think we got the picture. Isn't that a nice shed? It's the farm people call it a run-in, or, you know, because they can run in when it rains. So guess what happened the first time it rained? They don't go. Here's the next picture. Here's where the horses like to stand. The next picture shows. You see where they stand? You see where the shed is? Okay, and that's where they stand when it rains. They stand next to the shed most of the time. And that's what Sugar used to do. Sugar was white. I don't have Sugar anymore. I got the Rocky and Jazz. And they do the same thing. Okay, so does it do them any good? When it rains, what is the roof of the shed doing? Keeping that dry underneath. Is it keeping them dry? Is there anything wrong with the shed? Nothing wrong with the shed. What's wrong? Their position in relation to the shed. They're not under. That's what lordship is. You got to get under. And once in a while, we got the next slide, you'll see they will go in the shed, praise the Lord, and if it, and usually it's because there's feed in the bucket, and when the feed's empty, they don't, but that's what it is. The shed, that's a good picture of lordship. Lordship is not being able to build the shed, draw a diagram of the shed. It's not studying the shed. It's not teaching people how to build a shed. It's getting under the shed. Not talking about the shed or calling the shed a shed. You got to get under the shed for the shed to have any effect. That's what lordship is. I went to church for 20 years. I was not a Christian because I wasn't under the shed. Jesus was a lucky rabbit's foot. He was in my glove box. He was on the dashboard. He was around my neck. He was in my pocket. He wasn't in my heart. I wasn't under. That's what lordship is, under, and that's where peace comes from. That's when he is Sar Shalom. That's when he's the Prince of Peace, when you get under the covering. Lordship is the first key to having peace in your life. And here's another deal. You say, well, you know, I've made that decision. I've found out sometimes we can get half of us in the shed and half of us out. There's areas that we don't want to bring into the shed. There's areas we don't want Christ to get into, and we leave that out, and that's where the lack of peace happens. And so sometimes there can be a mixture. You know, the horse can stick his head in the shed, and the rest of his body is out, and only the part that's under is going to get covered. So Acts 10:36 says, you know, the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of what? Peace. Through Jesus Christ, who is the shed, the covering, the Lord of all. The good news of the peace comes through lordship. So again, you might be here today and say, yeah, I've made Jesus Lord. But if you're not experiencing peace, I just submit to you that maybe you need to examine. Maybe there's some areas that you've got walled off. We talked last week about the walls, how easy it is to put up walls. And while we put up the walls to protect ourselves from people, but they end up insulating us also from God. Whenever you have a wall, it's a wall. And we came about it rightly because I've been hurt, so I put up a wall. But recognize walls are walls. They're our wall, and it will keep not only the people that hurt you out, it keeps God out. And that's why we have to destroy walls. And then we trust God to protect us. people are still going to hurt you. You cannot, even though you've got all those walls, you still get hurt, don't you? They're not working. They're not working. Might as well get rid of them and live a life of peace. Lord means you're under him. Isaiah chapter 32 says this, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. What is righteousness? He became our righteousness. There's two aspects of righteousness. It's right standing and right behavior. So right standing doesn't come through our efforts. It comes through accepting what he did. And then we have right standing with God. So, and then it translates into right behavior. But that's not, right behavior doesn't save us. Right standing saves us, which is for by grace are you saved through faith. You just accept what he did. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence. We're not upset. We're not worried. We're all not, you know, having to take all these drugs to calm us down. Where does that come from? Deal with the root issue. It's coming from inside of us, and the Prince of Peace has the power to bring peace into that situation. The pills are temporary. Yeah, go see a doctor. That's great, but see the great physician at the same time and find out where the root of this lies. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness is quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling. This is God's peaceful dwelling places. I hope that you have a peaceful dwelling place this Christmas. In secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Submit to God. Submit to God. You won't get wet under the shed. Number two, the second key then in your notes is this. Bring Jesus into some of your situations. Most of your situations. No? What? Every situation. Is there any situation that you can handle on your own without the help of Jesus? No. He needs to be in every situation. He'll give you instructions how to handle it. Bring Jesus into every situation. Let me put it to you this day. Where are you having a problem in your life? Bring Jesus into it. Are you having a money problem? Bring Jesus into your money. Are you having a family problem? Bring Jesus into your family. Are you having a problem at work? Bring Jesus into that situation. Are you having a problem on Newbury Road? Bring Jesus into the traffic on Newbury Road. You're having a problem in the Christmas line. All these people buying ho, ho, ho happiness, sometimes they can be kind of mean. Bring Jesus into the Christmas line. Yeah, people can get mean. I heard about this lady. She was in New York City, and she's got two or three kids with her, and she's got all these bags, and she's hustle-bustle. She gets in this big store, Macy's. She gets on. She's the last one on the elevator, and she's pushing and shoving, and she gets in there, and the door closes, and she says, oh, they ought to kill whoever started this whole Christmas business. And a little, it was silent in the elevator, and a little voice came from the back and said, I think they already did. Christmas can get kind of hectic. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, now may the Lord of peace himself, give you peace at all times and in every way. I like that. At all times. Yeah, whatever you're facing is not excluded. It's not at most times, except for the thing that, you know, that's the way the kind of devil talks to us. Is like, yeah, I know other people got healed. Other people got blessed. Other people got, you know, had good things. But you, you're special. And am I the only one devil talks to like that? You know, you deserve. And I'm like, yeah, I do deserve. I am pretty bad. You know, but here's what it says. At all times in every way. Yeah, you can have peace at all times. Hey, we're no different from each other. We all face the same struggles. No one lives on a cloud and escapes all this. We're on a journey. We're just on a journey, aren't we? And hopefully you've taken that big step of the journey to involve Christ in your life, but it's still a journey. We're still learning. We're still growing. We're still tripping and falling and stumbling and making mistakes. Get up, brush yourself off. And just go right back at it. That's what glorifies God. I'm not giving up. The only way you lose in the kingdom of God is quit. That's it. Not making mistakes. Now, mistakes will cost you, and we want to avoid them, and you want to do better. But don't give up because you made a mistake, because that's just, it's life. The only way you lose is to quit. It's to throw in the sponge. Say, that's it. I give up. It's not working. That's the lie of the devil. It is working. I'm not what I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. We're on a journey. We're going somewhere. All times in every way. Philippians chapter 4, puts it this way. Paul writing to the church, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. This is good stuff for Christmas right here. Finally, he's telling you how to think. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When you get around certain relatives, there's things they say, there's things they do. You know, there's the way they eat at the table. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff. Just, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know. But there's something you could praise, and you could find some good in everybody in some situation, because every one of us is a mixture. So don't just focus on what you don't like about them. That's what Paul's saying. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Don't think about the bad things. Don't think about the negative things. Don't think about what they said. You know, or how they're picking their teeth while they're eating, or chewing with your mouth open. I don't know. Eating while you're chewing? I don't know. Chewing while you're eating. That's it. Don't chew while you're eating. And then he goes on, he says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And look, the result of changing our thinking and looking at the right things. And look what happens. The God of peace, Sar Shalom, will be with you if we get our mind right. See, we push him out because we put so much negativity in our mind. Oh, that rotten person, you know, I didn't even invite them and they came over here eating my lasagna. What the? Okay, and you know, get our mind, oh, I'm so glad they're here because they could just be out with nobody. Just change, we just have to change our thinking. And but what happens when we change our thinking? The God of peace will be with you. Not world peace, but peace on earth peace to men who God favors, finding favor with God. Number three, the third thing, keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your mind on Jesus. Did you know, probably most of you already know this, there's 31,103 verses in the Bible. How many of you knew that? 31,000. I didn't even know it the other day. I had to figure that out, find that out. 31,000. Who goes around thinking that? But there, I got a point in telling you this. 31,103 verses in the Bible. That means it's an odd number. That means there's one right in the center with 15,551 on this side and 15,501. One right in the middle. You want to know what that one is? Yeah. Come back next week. I'll tell you what the... No. Isaiah. Here it is right here. Isaiah... The middle, right in the smack dab in the middle of the Bible is Isaiah 26:3. Look what it says. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. There's the devil, and there's God, and there's you. You control your mind. The devil will throw thoughts at you, temptations, lies. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. You still control your mind. The devil don't control your mind. And get this, God don't control your mind. You decide what you want to think about. I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind, that's me, that's my job, whose mind is stayed on Sar Shalom, on him. And you trust in him. When we fear, it's because we don't trust God. We're trusting something else, and that's shaky. It's like, man, if you're trusting in yourself, you know you don't always come through. You're trusting somebody else. Well, you know they're going to mess up. But if you trust in God, uh-huh. We got to put our trust in God. Christmas, this Christmas, you can have peace. Put your trust in God. Put your hope in God. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Lord, I just pray that over everybody right now. Fill them with joy and peace. As you trust in him, that's what it says, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a good way to think of yourself as somebody who has spent time with God, and wherever you go, you're just overflowing, because people need hope, man. People around you, people in the world, people in the Christmas shopping line, people on Newbury Road, people in the mall, God knows in the mall they need help over there. You know, but you can overflow. That's what we can do. We've spent time with God. We've put our hope in God. We've fixed our mind on God. And then we overflow, and it could change other people's lives. Keep your mind. He's the reason for the season. We try. We always say that, but he really is. He's the reason. It's all about him. Do you know what? The world is passing away. Did you know that? The world, everything about the world, it's passing away. That's a sobering thought. This Chris, I try to think about that all. You know, it's so easy just to get caught up in the world and the things of the world, working and, you know, thinking about. But if you can see it, it's going to be melted to the base elements. That's what Jesus said. The world is passing away. Your investment in heaven never passed away. That's what Jesus said. Lay up treasure in heaven where neither moth or rust corrupt or thieves break in and steal. So on earth, anything you invest in, Jesus came to prepare us. What Chris? He came to prepare us for the next world. And we can start by having this investment of peace. Last scripture, Romans 8:18. I consider, look at this. I love this verse. I consider that the sufferings of this present time, anybody identify with that? The world's messed up, folks. I'm messed up. People are messed up. Circumstances, everything. But the sufferings of this present, everything that you have to deal with, it's suffering, isn't it? I mean, enduring and praying and believing and everything that everyone in this room is dealing with, the sufferings of this present world, I love this, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Let's just think about that. Let's just pray for it. The glory, it's not worth, whatever you're going through in this life, put it in perspective. It's not worthy to be compared to the glory that you're going to share with Christ when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You trusted me through the midst of that. What you're facing right now, the way that you look at it, your attitude about what you're going through right now can lay up treasure in heaven or make you miserable on earth. And it's up to me. It's up to you. It's making that decision. The way you look at what you're going through, you say, I'm just trusting God. Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace is on the inside of me. I'm going to make it through this thing. I'm going to make it through this circumstance. That's trust. Just say that to yourself. I just want everybody to just bow your head and just start thinking about the stuff that you're dealing with. And I want to ask you, how are you dealing with it? Are you dealing with it in faith or are you dealing in fear? Are you making it bigger than it is every time you think about it? Are you making God bigger than your problem every time you think about it? Is God getting bigger? Is your problem getting bigger? As you're getting ready to go into Christmas, some of you are just worried about when you see that relative. It's making you anxious. It's making you nervous. Why don't you just give them to God? Why don't you give your attitude about them to God right now and just give them a zero balance, just reconcile. And while you're praying, I want you to think about this. Are you under the shed? Or are you like my horse Rocky, likes to stand outside in the rain while it's raining? Are you all under the shed? Is there a leg sticking out, an arm sticking out? Is there some area, some relationship, some attitude with somebody that needs to come under the shed? How you doing on that? Are you standing in the rain or are you under his lordship? Are you all under the shed? Or maybe you've never even made that step of faith and gotten under at all. Maybe you've been like the way I was for 20 years, went to church, but I wasn't under the shed. He was my lucky rabbit's foot. He wasn't my Lord. My goodness, I wasn't going to turn everything over to him. Lordship. Do you trust him? Do you trust him today? Do you trust him with that person that is just aggravating you? Do you trust him with that circumstance right now that's like a great big old mountain in front of you? Do you trust him? Are you submitted to him? Are there areas, are there walls that need to come down that you've put up in self-defense? But they're keeping God out right now, and you need to bring those walls down, and you need to let some people in that you made a decision. I'm not going to get hurt. I'm not going to get hurt again. No, that's too painful. Can you trust God to take care of you? Even if things don't go the way you plan, can you trust him to bring you through, to heal you, to make it right? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for working in every one of our hearts. We're all on a journey. We're all growing. We're all learning. None of us, not one of us has arrived. We're a work in progress. I just pray for every person right now. I pray healing into every heart, into every relationship. I ask you to take away fear and doubt. I ask you to take away the thing that keeps peace from coming into our hearts. Help us to trust you again, Lord, even like when we were a little child. Bring us back to that place to be like little children trusting you. And right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you right now, and that is this. If you died right now, would you go to heaven if you died right now? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. Think so. Hope so. Not sure. That's a pretty important consequence to be leaving your chance. You say, yeah, but does anybody really know? Yeah. The Bible says this. I've written these things to you little children that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to get under the shed. You need to make that decision. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question, and here's what he said. He said, you got to be born again, which means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive you. It's that simple. It's that simple. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to walk down an aisle. It happens in your heart. It's a decision to surrender your life to Christ. I don't know where you're at today, but maybe you've never made that decision. I can tell you that's why you're here today. And before you leave here, I'm going to lead you in a prayer to take care of that. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, I made that decision in the past, but I'm going to be honest with you today. I am not where I want to be with God. And I want to get back on track. I mean business with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up or come forward. But if either one of those apply to you and you mean business with God, just real quick, slip up your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? This is it. This is the day. You're surrendering your life to Christ or you're recommitting your life to Christ. Anybody else? Thank you. All right, right where you're seated, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help him with this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God. Man, that's the best decision you ever made in your life. On that connection card that Pastor Mike talked about,